Would you like to run around with that thing? Did you notice the thing is growing? There's more stuff. You do that, you will be expelled. Since our church nickname is a calorie chapel, we gotta eat again, right? Listen up, please. Let's have a church picnic, fall church picnic. Is that okay? And that will be October 30th. Cindy, you're in charge to reserving this spot. The same place, sorry, the park with the gazebo, whatever that thing. Umara, yeah, gazebo, not gazebo, Umara. October 30th is Sunday, after the service. No, it's not next weekend, October. The October is usually a month behind the September. Let's make a 6:15 because some of the people, no, 6:15 just because some of the people had to come home and they pack up. Yes. No, I don't think. That's the first week in November, week before. Huh? It's a Halloween weekend. So who cares about Halloween weekend? Anybody have a problem with Halloween weekend? No, men's conference is the 4th. Yeah, 4th, 5th, 6th. All right, October 30th, the church picnic. And we're going to have a baptism on October 9th. Anybody has a pool? Want to share that pool? Coming up. He raised his hand. Okay, we'll do it again at the Sutton's. Hey, didn't I tell you about the baptism most unique way? I dunked the guy as the prison inmate in the little dish pan. I tried that too. I did that too. Okay, this is an email from Jana Gunter, who is in Qatar or whatever. Qatar. Good morning for you and good afternoon for me. How are you? I'm good here. I have a list of a few things. Remember we asked for the list of items so we can send the care package? You might want to jot it down. We're going to repeat this on Sunday morning. Jot it down, please. Here's a few things that I've gathered. It's not just for her. It's for her co-workers too. Let's knock the socks off them, okay? Let's send them a big package and let them see that we support our troops. Movies. Don't even think about the sending of our movie. DVD, VHS. No 8-track movies, okay? Huh? Yeah, exactly. I don't know what's the next one is. CARESS body wash. Perez, is that brand name? Okay. Good for you. All right, next one is a nutritional snacks. And next one is any chocolate. Air freshener. No candles. I don't know why. No candles. And Febreze. Fabreeze, Fabreeze, and the egg crate foam pad for the hard mattress or mattress pad for the twin size, and cookies. Hi, guys. So we're going to put this in the bulletin, so if you can jot it down and start to prepare. I'd like to have everything back by not this Sunday, but following Sunday. We're going to gather them all up. We're going to ship it out. Okay? Let's not fool around and thinking that, oh, I forgot. Then you have to wait until next shipment. So not this Sunday, following Sunday, we'll gather everything up and send it to them. Is that okay with you guys? Good. Open your Bible with me to Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. Colossians 1, verse 24. Anyone don't have a Bible? Raise your hand. We'll buy and the Bible. Give him Bible. He always sits there without Bible. You better turn Bible with me, otherwise you're going to have a problem. Huh? No, I'll just beat him up here. Yeah. Okay, let's start. Some people who do not know the Word of God well tend to say that we ought to love everyone, we have to serve everyone, we have to help everyone, no matter what it takes. No matter what the difference in the denomination, what the difference in theology, we should take care of them. By the way, we are in Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. I agree and I believe first portion of statement. We ought to love, we ought to serve, we ought to help. However, I do not agree with the second part. If it's a different, forget about the denomination, different theology, we will not. And if we have to accept their lifestyle as is, no. Let me make an example. Should we love the homosexual? Yes. Should we despise their sin? Yes. Should we despise our own sin? Yes. As long as we know the principle, as long as we follow the guideline of the Word of God, I don't have a problem. But just accepting everybody, any style, you know, altogether happy family, no, that doesn't work that way. Because we have to have a solid biblical principle in our heart. Apostle Paul is teaching us tonight, actually the Holy Spirit is teaching us through the Apostle Paul about serving one another without compromising. So tonight's Bible study is title is Serving Without Compromising. We'll start at verse 24 and we will have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we lift up our heart to you, our hearts are open, our Bibles are open to receive your guidance. Let us serve one another there. Let us help one another. Let us love one another as you told us to. But let us have your principle, your precept, your guideline from your word engraved in our heart the way so that we may honor you before we honor anyone else. Let us rejoice in your word. Let us rejoice in the trials and tests because we will grow. During that time, strengthen us with your word. Let us be sensitive to the Holy Spirit to hear from you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 24. I now will rejoice in my suffering for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in affliction of Christ. Underline what is lacking in afflictions of Christ, please. For the sake of his body, which is the church. Paul was suffering in his body and for the sake of a church. And implication seems like there's something lacking in what Jesus did. What does it mean that we just went through the study in previous chapters and previous verses that Jesus Christ is preeminence and there's nothing lacking in what he's done on the cross? Why the Apostle Paul is saying that all of a sudden there is something lacking? Is he trying to tell us there is some problem? Or is he speaking heresy? So we have to figure it out this carefully. He even mentioned about the fullness of Jesus Christ. Fullness means there is no more thing to add into it. However, he is again talking about lacking in Christ, suffering of Jesus Christ. There's two types of suffering in Jesus Christ. Number one, suffering as a son of God and the suffering of righteousness. Let's start with the first one, suffering of Jesus, as a son of God. This that kind of suffering, we cannot add anything onto it. Because Jesus done it completely on the cross. Remember crucifixion. What time did he get on the cross, according to the book of Matthew? Anybody remember? What time? In the morning. What time? 9 o'clock. From 9 to 12, there was a light. Of course, there was a light in the morning. Duh, right? That was the time when the man did its worst. That's the time tortured Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, was hanging on the cross and suffering for us. That was the time man's worst revealed. From 12 to 3, it became black, pitch dark. Remember that? We studied it in Matthew. That's the time when God did his best. He was transferring all the things, all the man's sin, your sin, my sin, past sin, present sin, and the future sin we are going to ask for his forgiveness, all of a sudden transferred, banking Tom, where are you, Pam? Imputed, right? Transferred to account of Jesus Christ. It from our account to his account, transferred. That was what Father God did. He did his best to transfer all of that. So we are the one who become clean. He is the one who received all the sin of ours. That is the suffering nobody can add on to. Nobody can share that. So what is the other suffering that Apostle Paul is talking about? As I mentioned, suffering of righteousness. That's the one that verse 24 is mentioning. Let's go back to the verse 24. Just read that portion one more time. I now rejoice in my suffering for you, filled up in my flesh what is lacking in affliction of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church. Where is Apostle Paul? Where is he at this point? He's in prison. He is in federal prison, I guess. He is suffering for the sake of the name of Jesus Christ. Why is he suffering? Let's go to the book of John chapter 8, verse 40. John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 40. Good, Don. Way to go. You're turning pages. Good job. But now you seek to kill me, Jesus speaking, a man who has told you the truth which I heard from you. And Abraham did not do this. See, these Pharisees tried to kill Jesus. He was suffering of righteousness for us and for himself. Two more verses. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. What page? That would be 2059. Does it help? 3:12. Yes. And all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus might suffer. No? Will suffer persecution. There's a difference between might and maybe and will. That means guaranteed. Folks, that means you are going to suffer. And some of you guys are already going through that at your workplace or wherever, in neighborhood or whatever. Or even your own family. One more verse. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 14. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 14. But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their treat, nor be troubled. And when the time comes, Holy Spirit will give us the word to speak. Do not be afraid. So, let me put it this way. The popularity of Christians with the world is inverse ratio. What am I talking about? If you are popular with the world, you wouldn't be popular with Christ. If you are popular with Christ, you wouldn't be popular with the world. You cannot be popular with both sides. You have to choose one or another. Then again, what Jesus said reminds me that you're either for me or against me. There's no such thing as riding on the fence. You might be able to do that right now, but there will be a time we have to declare our pledge to one side or another. So if you try to be popular with the world, you won't be able to be popular with God. And if you're popular with God, you're weirder in the world. Do not be afraid of what other people are going to say, but be afraid of what God's going to say about you. Let's go back to the Colossians chapter 1 again, verse 25. Of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, the ministry which has been hidden from the ages and from the generations. Underline the mystery which has been hidden from the ages and from the generations, but now has been revealed to his saint. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Underline next three words, please. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Verse 29, to this end I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. In biblical sense, a mystery is not a riddle. Remember I told you about it's a kind of hidden secret that only those who are qualified will be able to know that hidden secret. It is a truth only can be known by the revelation by God. It's not intuition. It's not ESP. By the way, just a side note, if you believe in ESP, repent. Because there's no such a thing as ESP. That's nothing more than New Age La La Land garbage. So, there. It can be known by the revelation of Jesus Christ. A part of ministry was not the fact that Gentiles would be saved. It is already known in throughout the Old Testament Gentiles would be saved. But what was the surprise that hidden? The main thing is how the Jesus Christ would save the people and bring Jewish people to the basic level of with the Gentile. All of a sudden, what the prophet and all the people who prophesied about this mystery, the hidden weave through the entire Old Testament, and people want to know so much. Daniel wanted to know, Isaiah wanted to know, Elijah wanted to know, and King David wanted to know, yet it was not revealed to them. They did not know, including Satan, he did not know. If he knew how Father God would bring this salvation to the mankind, he would not have crucified Jesus Christ on the cross. It was hidden. And then, to the surprise of the Jewish people, quote-unquote Pharisees and Sadducees and Sanhedrins, they would bring it to the level of a Gentile, and everyone would be saved by faith in Christ Jesus. Not because they are chosen people, they have a special entrance privilege to the heaven. Apostle Paul did not preach himself. I actually underlined him, we preach. He was not preaching about his opinion or even a lot of entertaining stories like a lot of preachers nowadays do. By the way, I read a survey. More and more church preachers using entertainment, like a skit or other things, before teaching or replacing teaching on Sunday morning. So it's become more like a social club or entertainment thing. Not in this church. Goal of Paul's ministry is to bring people to the maturity in Christ Jesus through the Word of God. There's no other way for us to get mature unless we get to know the Word of God and we go through trials and tests and we become maturing through that trials and tests. Let's continue verse 1 of chapter 2. For what I want you to know and what a great conflict, underlying conflict, please, I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knitted together in love and attaining to all the riches of the full assurance, underline that too, please, assurance, and or of understanding to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both the Father, of the Father and of the Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The word conflict is coming from the Greek word agon. Can you see? That's better. Conflict, the word conflict comes from agon. Also, that we the word we just read in verse 29, strife, also coming from agone, zomai. Guess what kinds of word we get? Agony. Striving and conflict is coming from the same root word. We're trying very hard and almost to the point of agony and trying to achieve the level to please God. Okay, this is what the Apostle Paul is telling us to we should receive. And when the believer is down and out because of daily worries such as finance, the marriage, or you name it, whatever the daily things that bothers them, a lot of times they get discouraged, they are downcast. Whenever people, the believers are downcast and discouraged, they become easy prey of devil, easy prey of the world. It's easy for the people to sway back to the world life and go backslide from the Word of God. That's what the Apostle Paul is concerned about. That's why he's praying that God would give them an encouragement. Many Christians lack of this assurance in their lives. If you have it, this assurance of the fullness of Jesus Christ, if we have that, we are rich in Christ. If we don't have it, we are poor spiritually. Also, many people lack of assurance and trust in God. Why? Because they are not sure about what God's promising in through the Word of God. How many of you guys doubt God? Come on, be honest. How many of you guys doubt God? I do. Oh, the rest of you get so high and mighty, so sainty. Sometimes I'm wondering if he's going to pull this off. And I am doubting God Almighty who created the entire universe. Huh? What? Pay attention, Barbara. Because we do not believe the attribute and we do not believe the character of God, we doubt. As I'm growing older, more and more I have a... Rephrase. Less and less I doubt God. You know why I doubt God less? Because I see the track record of God. For each time I went through the trouble, He was faithful to be there. He does not rescue me each time I say, help me. He allows me to be there, but yet He is with me each step. He never left me. He never forsaked me. He was with me every time. Because of that assurance, because of His track record, I learned to trust Him. Let me put it in our current term. Are we ever going to have a building so we don't have to move in and out of Sunday morning's auditorium? I don't know. There's no guarantee for that. He's meeting our need, though, right? He's allowing us to have a place where we can get together, worship Him, and learn from Him. He met the bottom need. Are we ever going to have it? I don't know. Let me put it this way. There is a pastor up in Boulder, Colorado. He is a Calvary pastor. Guess how long he's been moving in and out of the school? Guess. 20 years. Bless his heart, he did not give up. Pastor Mark Martin up in Phoenix, he had a living room church for about 7 years. He was about to give up. He had 50 people in the living room, jam-packed. And he was about to give up, and he didn't because God told him not to give up. Now he has about 8,000 congregation. Pastor Bob Coy up down in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, he had about 30 people for 2 years in his living room. He called CCOF, Calvary Chapel, Outreach Fellowship, that's what it's the headquarters of all the Calvary Chapel. And contact them, and he was kind of whooping and griping. And his CCOF person said, well, if you feel that way, quit. We'll send somebody, some Bible college student out there who will be more than happy to take over your church. Instead of getting a pat on the back and encouragement, he got kind of rejected. So he came back to the Fort Lauderdale and said, I'm not going to have some college kid take over my church. So he stayed at it. His church is a 14,000 congregation church. It's bigger than some of the city. I'm not saying that our church will grow like that, or I'm not saying that it may, maybe not. I don't care about that. You know what I care? You guys. A few days ago, the Lord spoke to my heart through the Pastor Skip Isaac's teaching. He was quoting the incident with D.L. Moody. After his teaching, D.L. Moody was approached by a couple of old ladies, and they said, Pastor Moody, you are lacking two things. Number one, you are lacking in the fire and the zeal for God. And you're lacking baptism of the Holy Spirit. D.L. Moody went back home, and he started to cry out to God and say, if I don't have that, I'm not going to do anything from now on. I'm not going to go anywhere without you going with me. When I heard that, that reminds me what Moses said. To the promised land, and God fed up with these Israeli people. He said, just go to the promised land. I will send the angels with you. Remember that portion? You know what Moses said? If you are not going with us, we are not going. We're staying right here. I don't care about angels. I'm to the point here right now. Lately, we've been attacked, this church leadership, not just this church leadership, and just every church in general. I get the feeling the attack from our enemy is increased heavily. I'm to the point that very tired spiritually, but I'm not going to give up. I'm privileged to take care of you guys spiritually, and I'm not going to give up. But I'm not going to go anywhere unless God is going with me. I'm to the point, I have no method. I don't have anything. Pam Youngbok reminds me how low our finance is. That doesn't matter. I'm going to do whatever God says, and if the rest of them is His problem. God's going to meet me where He said, I will meet you. All I have to do is just follow Him with a diligent heart. So come with me, go with me. Hear me well, please. Follow me as I follow the Lord. I'm going to pray hard. You pray hard. I'm going to be obedient to the Lord. You be obedient to the Lord. I don't care about your opinion. I don't care about my opinion. Let's do what He says. Okay? Verse 4. Now, this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with a persuasive word. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and steadfastness of your faith in Christ. During the time of Apostle, there's a lot of Gnostic people and persuading words. They tell people with a hidden message, and then they talk about deep wisdom, all of that. Many people nowadays, they're quoting the Bible verses. They will quote the Bible verses. As a matter of fact, I had two visitors Saturday morning. Guess who they are? They love to quote the Greek word, so I quote the Greek word. And when I told them about the Hebrew word, and they tried to back out. However, they have no idea where they're going. Cult people use Bible verses often. They are not the only one who use Bible verses and try to confuse people. Within Christian realm, there is people who are using psychology babble and worldly philosophy. They are infiltrating the Christian realm. What am I talking about? A few years ago, about 13, 14 years ago, Christian psychology all of a sudden became so popular thing. Helped by the Focus on the Family, Jim Dobson. Is he wrong? No. Am I saying that what he's doing is wrong? That's not what I'm saying. Some of the guests he put on is problem makers, such as Kevin Lehman. Some of you guys might like him. Well, listen up, please. His book is Unlocking Your Childhood Memory. How many of you guys heard that thing? Unlocking Childhood Memory. You know what that is? It's nothing more than because my mama did not help me do this, or because my mama didn't let me do this, I'm become bad. You know what that is? Finger pointing. Because my brother, because my sister, because my father, because my mama. When we sin against God, we sin against God because our choice. Okay? It's not somebody made me to do it. Same garbage as devil made me to do it. I believe Christian counseling done by with a guideline through the Bible. I'm all for it. But I do not believe in Christian psychology that using worldly system with, what's that guy's name? Freud and Barton, all that people. Who cares about them? They are worldly philosophers, worldly psychology people. Freud is nothing more than pervert anyway. Verse 6. You have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it, and with thanksgiving. Underline that, please. With thanksgiving. This is a wonderful rule. Guys, verse 6 and 7. Put that in your heart, please. That is a wonderful rule for the Christian living. Colossians were in danger having studied the simplicity of Jesus Christ. And they tried to add something. This not only applies to the Colossian people, it applies to us too. Listen up, please. A lot of great moves started with a few people who were completely dependent on God. They started well, and all of a sudden, people around them want to increase or try to perfect what the Holy Spirit taught. For example, Methodist Church, Presbyterian Church, Episcopalian Church. They all started well. You know why we call the Methodist Church? Because they are so methodical when it comes to approaching the Word of God. But they tried to perfect what the Holy Spirit started with their human effort. You may say, what about Calvary Chapel? Exactly. In 1970, late 60 and early 70, Calvary Chapel started. That's known as the Jesus Movement. If we don't stay in the Word of God, if we don't follow the Word of God, if we are not controlled by the Holy Spirit, Calvary Chapel will go down to the same direction like the Episcopalian Church and United Methodist Church or Presbyterian Church. Folks, some of the things that this denomination is doing is sickening. If we're not careful, we will be just like them. Or maybe we'll be like the church of Ephesus mentioned in the book of Revelation. We know the right and wrong, but we will lose our first love. Then what good is it? Let's continue in verse 8. Before we go to verse 8, thanksgiving is mentioned here. Whenever believers in Jesus Christ think about the thanksgiving to God in the difficult time, that person is in progress of maturity. By renewing these pictures, and I will show it to you later. Verse 8, be aware that lest anyone cheat you through the philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of man, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. And for in him dwell all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are completed in him who is the head of all principality and power. If we put anything or anything said by and spoken by the man above God, if we start to put the denomination rules and regulations above Word of God, we are heading for trouble. Gnostic people, the false teachers, they never try to win the lost soul. They always kidnap. They always snatch people from the church. Speaking of that, two Jehovah's Witnesses who came to our church, our home, on Saturday morning, she told me that she was a former Catholic nun. So I thought, well, you went from a nun to nun. N-U-N to N-O-N-E. Because now she is nothing and cult. How is it possible for this false teacher to take the people to cult, the believers? You know why? Let's go back to what we studied. Hosea 4:6. My people perish because what? Lack of knowledge. Because they don't study the word. Application number one. We need to remember that we cannot perfect. Oops, sorry guys. We cannot perfect the flesh. Perfect in the flesh what is begun in the spirit. We cannot perfect in the flesh what is begun in the spirit. Second one is a grounded and growing and grateful believers will not be led astray from Jesus. If his spiritual root is deep in the word, in Christ, he will not want any other soil. If Christ is his sure foundation, he doesn't need to move. If he is studying and growing in the Word, he will not be easily enticed by the false doctrine. Because we don't know the Word, we get enticed. Trust me, the Jehovah's Witness, their doctrine is so confusing. They said, well, yeah, I believe Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior. Just like the way you would say, He died for my sin. But yet they said, you ask them, is Jesus Christ your God? And say, oh no, He's not God. Then you ask them, how many God do you have? One God. You ask them again, Isaiah 9:6. He is a wonderful counsel, Almighty God, and Mighty God. Who is that? And they say, Jesus. Doesn't it say Mighty God? He said, well, He's not Almighty God. But you just said it is only one God. Now you have another God? And they change the subject really fast. They don't even have that doctrine right. You need to study the Word. If his heart is overflowing with thanksgiving, again, this shows the maturity. He will not even consider turning from the fullness he has in Christ. Because we don't know about Jesus Christ, we turn away from him. Let's stand up and pray.